Hi, I'm Matt Reed, Director of the Countryside and Community Research Institute at the University of Gloucestershire, and I'm delighted to welcome you to the CCRI podcast. We'll be taking you behind the scenes of our research, revealing the day-to-day life of our internationally excellent research institute. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to the first CCRI podcast. I'm Nick Lewis, a research assistant here at the CCRI and your host for this episode. And in this episode, we'll be speaking to two placement students we currently have here at the CCRI. One of my roles is to recruit and manage the placement students, and this is something we've been doing now for around 15 years, and I've been managing the process for about the last five. This year though, and for the first time, we have not one, but two placement students. So it's a pleasure to introduce Marie Stakeler and Harry Batchelor to this podcast. Hi there both.
Hello.
Hello.
So both of you are undergraduate students, which is a requirement for our placement students. Marie is studying at Newcastle and Harry is at Leeds. So Marie, let's start with you first. I'm just wondering if you can tell everyone a little bit about your background before you joined the CCRI for your placement.
Yeah, sure. So at Newcastle, I study animal science, but before I went to uni, I did take 2 years out to figure out whether I even wanted to go. I think I've always been pretty passionate about animal welfare, so naturally, like all young girls obsessed with animals, my goal was to study vet medicine. After doing a bit of work experience around the industry, I had to say I accepted that A-level chemistry wasn't my greatest talent.
Don't think A-level chemistry, it's not great either for me.
Yeah, so. No, absolutely brutal. And then I realised I'd probably hate working in a vet practice too. Fell down some rabbit holes of research to do with animal agri.
Good use of term there.
Thank you so much. Rabbit I was really holes. Proud of yeah. I was like, oh, let's make this a bit of a...
do like a good pun.
Yeah, exactly. Rabbit holes. Okay, yeah. To do with animal agriculture and sustainability. So found out I was curious enough to spend 3 years of my life learning about this. And so landed on animal science as my degree choice. During my time before I started uni, COVID hit, and then just witnessing the levels of misinformation that followed and how incredibly harmful and widespread it was, I started thinking about science communication as a potential career direction. I think the challenge of scientists communicating this expertise in an understandable way to the public is a pretty interesting one. I did know that I wanted to try and get a placement year with my degree from the start, because the time I had spent working before uni really taught me the value of industry experience. Industry experience is probably the best way to trial whether you actually enjoy something in practice. It's quite easy to fantasize about what career is like when you don't know the realities of it, or assume that you like a particular way of working when you haven't got that lived experience. So after a bit of researching and many CV overhauls, I found this placement advertisement and thankfully landed it.
Yep, landed it. One of the strongest candidates we had.
Oh, thanks. I cried after my interview. Oh.
At least you didn't cry during it.
Yeah, exactly. I you guys hung up and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to get this job. It's such a bad job.
No, it was a straight run between you two. Oh,
that's nice.
There was no debate really. Normally it's pretty conclusive who is going to get the role, or in this case, roles.
Oh, sure. Happy days for us. I'm proud of us.
Yes.
So Harry, you joined us from Leeds Uni, but you're originally from... near Oxford, Henley, somewhere around there, I think. So just outside the Cotswolds. I'm just wondering if you can tell the lovely listeners a little bit about yourself and what you're studying at Leeds and things along those lines.
Yes, so as you said, I'm from Stoke Roe, just outside of Henley. So really not far from the Cotswolds. So the proximity for me is great. I'm studying environmental science at University of Leeds, doing a four-year course. And over the last few years of being at Leeds prior to my placement, I've had a particular interest in modules, including ecology, biodiversity, and a GIS module, which has been proven to be useful, tool to pick up, as it is widely implemented in aspects of CCRI's research. Marie and I are doing different courses, which further emphasises that CCRI doesn't just want one type of person. I think the academic community at CCRI includes, you know, academics specialising in social science, environmental governments, agri-food studies, sociologists. And that's just a few to mention. So there's a lot of interdisciplinary research that takes place internally and externally.
Yeah, that the fact that you're both from different roles, when we were sort of deciding about who to recruit, the fact that you're so different in terms of your background was actually a huge bonus, because it sort of covered a broad range of topics rather than just sort of one specific area. Which if we were only recruiting one, that would be sort of, I suppose, less of an appeal than having two who are very different.
Yeah. Makes it less yep. niche. Yeah.
We could delegate tasks between exactly. us too. So it was really, yeah.
really helpful.
Takes the weight off the researchers. So it's good. Yeah, and some of my interests include being outdoors, so running, which I'm actually going to join a social group on the SAS days. So that should be good. And then hiking a bit as well. And I've done some camping too in Snowdonia and Brecon. I recall it was in September. I was doing Silver Deer V, and it was the wettest like weekend I've ever experienced in my life. So it wasn't enjoyable.
Wow.
And I enjoy my music too. So yeah.
Well, if it's not raining in Wales, then something's gone wrong with the world. Chances are. So that's yeah. that's fantastic. And I mentioned the park run earlier, so you should go and check out the one in Pittville Park or the one that's over the other side of town. They're both really good fun.
Perfect.
So yeah. It sounds like you've got a similar background to me as well, sort of running and hiking and things like that. So you both started in early September and you've been here just over a couple of months now. And as Harry and Marie have already found out, although they are here as placement students, they're very much part of the team. We don't simply have them doing the photocopying or making cups of tea for the profs. They really do get involved. No, they really do get involved with the work that we do. And often within the first few weeks, they're out supporting others in the team across several projects. And the CCRI is based at the University of Gloucestershire's FCH Francis Close Hall campus, which is pretty much in the centre of Cheltenham town. And Marie and Harry have both chosen to move to the town for their placement and are office based most days. I'm just wondering if you could tell us, Marie, how you found living in Cheltenham so far.
So for me, I knew that I'd move wherever my placement was. So the location was really, really important. So one of my close friends graduated this year and she said she'd join me wherever I went. So I've been pretty lucky to
that's
be able
commitment.
To live with her. Yeah, yeah, that's true, actually.
You could have been going
I could have
anywhere.
Been going anywhere. I could have been going to Milton Keynes.
Try to avoid
find
that
if you like a roundabout.
Sorry, I don't know if any of you guys are from that. Yeah, yeah, fine if you like a roundabout, but not if you kind of want stuff to do. But yeah, that was commitment from her. Shout out to her for that. Cheltenham is great, honestly. There is enough going on that you don't feel bored, but not to the point where you're overwhelmed with options or too broke to enjoy them. I also do a bit of climbing in my free time. There's a good climbing gym down the road from FCH. There's also a lot of festivals here, which I was surprised to see.
Loads.
So there's loads.
Not just the horsey ones.
Yeah,
but
thank God.
Literature, science, jazz.
Exactly.
All sorts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Proper festival town is what it says when you look up Cheltenham. So, like, the Literature Festival was on at the start of October, and I've invited some of my friends down for the Jazz and Paint Festival next year. You'll see all kinds of murals dotted about Cheltenham as they've
yeah,
piled on about the years.
Yeah, there's some huge street art.
It's beautiful.
Sort of on the sides of multi-story car parks
yeah,
and things
oh my
like
God.
That. Just gigantic it's things and also small ones as well.
It's the Honeybourne Lane route, which I take to walk to the station. There's some murals there as well.
Yeah, and little bridges and things.
Yeah,
it's like they change quite a lot as well, I noticed. So, exactly, the festivals. And knowing that there's enough to keep you busy outside of work and enjoy the year is a must, in my opinion. And also whether or not there'd be young people in the town. So, because there are two university campuses here, there is a student population and you don't feel totally removed from student life. You can join in with the uni societies if you'd like. I don't know if, Harry, you haven't joined. No, we haven't.
Not yet, no.
But take a peek. And it's not far from Bristol too, which is just a really cool city and that's been fun to explore.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice to be based down in the southwest for the year, part of the country I haven't spent much time in.
Yeah, I think there's three or four campuses, not two.
Oh, sorry, yeah, two in Cheltenham is what I meant to say.
No. There's Pittville Park, FCH.
Oh, there's Hardwick, isn't there?
That's four.
As well. Yeah.
Oh, I don't.
Rookie error.
Sorry, there are four campuses. Yeah. Four University of Gloucestershire campuses.
And then there's Oxtalls over in Gloucester and the new one which is being developed in Gloucester City.
Yeah.
Because of the university campuses.
But Francis Close is...
That's where it's at. It's a little bit Hogwarts-y.
Exactly.
It's a sort of a faux Victorian... it's a Victorian faux Gothic sort of chapel. It is a little bit Harry Pottery.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's quite pretty, yeah. Mm. Cheltenham is a nice place to live. I've been here about 20 years now and it's got a good mix of things to do. And it's really close to some fab bits of countryside. You can go and see Adam's Farm. It's made famous on Countryfile. From where I live, I can be out on my bike in a couple of miles on single track country lanes, which is just great to get away from the town. What's been your highlight, Harry, of your time here so far? Whether it's work, non-work, and what might you be looking forward to in the next few months?
Yeah, so just for a bit of a backstory, I was in communication with Nick before the placement started about getting to the office, as previously I was thinking about commuting into the office 3 days a week and then 2 days at home.
Which is a mad idea.
Yes. Which I've realized,
I think I worked out it was a 90-minute commute each way.
Yeah. So I was just like, no, there's no chance I'm doing that. No. I'm tired at the end of the day anyway, yeah. So it's nice to sort of come home, and it's 5-10 minute walk for us too, so it's nice. It's nice that obviously CCRI offers this hybrid working 3 days a week in the office, 2 days at home, but I thought it'd be more convenient obviously for me to be in Cheltenham. And just to emphasise, I didn't know anybody before I moved to Cheltenham, so I got a flat share through an app called Spare Room and signed a flat at short notice, and I'm
I think that's really nice, because I mean, it means you've met some people the second you move in. You've already got kind of four people that are about your age that are doing
exactly
things.
Yeah, exactly. They're all professional. I think some of them actually university as well, so they all relate like sort of my age too, which is nice. And they're all, they cook good food too.
We've got
a Vietnamese and we've got a Vietnamese student and also Malaysian, and their food, they just sort of, they make too much, basically, so we've got all the seconds.
That sounds
which is
awful.
Good.
That's the worst living situation ever.
Yep, I know. Oh, that's brilliant. Big bang for your buck being the centre and also getting good food. So, and it's affordable, yeah. And so far, I've found that living here has been brilliant. I'm quite an active person, so being close to the Cotswolds, I think you get the best of both worlds. You've got the lovely town, but also, as Nick said, you've access to a close countryside, which is a really cool balance. Cheltenham doesn't fit one type of person, as it were. Highlight my time here. So Marie and I were lucky to be invited to the Climathon, which is similar to a hackathon, where you work to solve a problem with different solutions. And that was at the RAU in Cirencester.
That's the Royal Ag Uni.
That's the one. Yeah, so really not that far at all. We had the opportunity to talk to experts in their field. And there were some really good pictures of the food. I remember I was looking through the other day, and the food was amazing.
The Royal Ag Uni does really good
It was
food.
Incredible. Yep. If you're ever at the Royal Ag Uni, just try the orange cheese.
Yes.
10 out of 10.
They were good. Yep. I just remember Amy just filling up loads of pork pies and things into my box and just having it the next day, and my mouth was so... It was really good because it was free lunch. My mouth was so dry. But the food was good. Thank you to Amy.
Food chat on the CCRI podcast.
And, she's going to get another shout out shortly.
I'm looking forward to continue working with lots of exciting projects, including the Treescapes programme, the NICERA programme, so that's National Innovation Centre for Rural Enterprise, which is sort of related to short food supply chains.
More food chat.
More food chat.
And the Minagris project, which is microplastics and nanoplastics in agricultural soils, which are just a few exciting initiatives.
Super, thanks, Harry. So along with a lot of the team here, you've already been out and about helping others, doing field work. So that means that the office can sometimes be a little bit quiet because so many people are away. But when people do come in for team meetings or events, then it's a good place to catch up with what's been going on, where people have been going, challenges they may have faced with travel plans and storms and plane cancellations and things like that. Mm. Often, more food chat, people harness their inner bake-off and bring some cakes or biscuits in, which are always welcome. So, Harry, I'm just wondering, could you tell us a little bit more about how you found working in the office, please?
Yeah, so working in the office has been a great experience so far. Having access to a fantastic office space and being part of such a collaborative and supportive environment has been incredibly motivating. I think I speak on Marie's behalf that all of the team here have been so welcoming. Making that transition from being a student at university to being part of the team, seamless.
Yeah, it's definitely not as scary as you might think. So yeah, as Harry mentioned, team is incredibly welcoming and patient, even when they have loads of other big scary EU deadlines going on.
Well, that's good that's your sort of experience so far. It may change, but who knows?
It might change.
We're getting it right so far.
Yeah, no, exactly. The dress code is casual as well, which I know is something that both Harry and I did ask about.
Yes.
And honestly, it did alleviate some of my stress about starting the job. There's serious work going on, but it's not a kind of uptight.
Yeah, I remember Harry asking about the dress code, and I said it's sort of smart casual with the emphasis on the casual.
Yes, exactly.
So when you rocked up in I think it was sort of early September, and it was really hot. And I'm sort of wandering around in shorts and flip flops, thinking, actually, yeah, this is going to be all right.
I think I was in a shirt and chinos and my smartest shoes of my wardrobe. So there we go.
It scared me a bit because,
I was. Like you just escaped from Gap or somewhere like that.
I was. Good. It freaked me out seeing you in such a formal outfit as well. I was like, definitely a lot more casual, but exactly. And it's up to you to manage, as Harry said, it's up to you to manage your time in the office, but you don't feel unsupported at all. Mm-hmm. And I really value that independence.
Yeah, I echo that. And there's a super sense of autonomy within the office, autonomy in terms of allowing me to take up tasks independently as and when I want to, given the workload, but also autonomy as and when I like to use the office space, so I can work at home or in the library. There's a great deal of flexibility, but I prefer coming in. You have access to two monitors, which also enhances the ability to switch between the tasks seamlessly.
Yeah, that autonomy is something I think we're always keen to stress in, and perhaps some people it takes a little bit of getting used to. Mm. And you've got the flexibility of the agile working environment, and encourage you to actually make the most of that, so it fits your sort of commitments, lifestyles, and things which affect you on a day-to-day basis.
Exactly. I mean, Marie, when you were commuting down from Newcastle, when your trains were cancelled, obviously you could take the Monday.
Exactly, I could work from home, which was perfect. Didn't have to take a day off for that.
And similarly, when you were ill with COVID, Harry, it's like, actually, please don't come into the office and share that around. If you can work from home and do that, and it means you can get back to, kind of your parental home and work from there because you're feeling a bit rubbish and you're sort of holed up in a small hot room in your house, then do that. We want to be realistic about the working environment and pragmatic as well.
Yeah, and with that in mind, do make sure you record the time you spend on the tasks you're doing. So I really, really recommend buying a small planner just to keep track of it. At the end of the day, that really helps when it comes to filling in your timesheets. You'll probably be doing work on a few projects at once. I know myself and Harry are doing different ones too. So it can be hard to remember exactly how you've spent your time at the end of the month. And there's also a little red folder of advice from past placement students. Read it.
Yeah, that's something which is always there on the sort of day one, and have a read through and find out sort of what other people have experienced and what they've done, recommended, and little nuggets of advice. No doubt you guys will be contributing to that as well.
Yes,
we'll definitely be filling that in for the future placements as well. So yeah, and I think it's important to highlight the ease of communication within the office. If I have a query or need assistance with anything, the office is designed in a way that makes it incredibly convenient for me to simply look over my shoulder and ask for advice. I think this open communication environment has been immensely helpful and has facilitated a smooth transition into such a collaborative setting.
Right, thanks both. That's some top suggestions there. One of the aims of the placement here is to give you an insight into a range of tasks that are associated with the research projects which are going on. And this can certainly build upon your research skills, which will help you with your degree, but also give you an insight into the postgraduate studies that you could take on. We've got master's students and PhD students here in CCRI, or even an insight into a career in research. Marie, I'm just wondering, is the placement what you anticipated it would be? Is there anything which has surprised you so far?
Oh, so probably just how much relevant research we are involved in. I knew it would be hands-on, but as time goes on, you really do get to be significantly involved in a lot of relevant and big projects, and people do value your help. So yes, you are an undergrad student working alongside people with PhDs, and yes, there is a lot to learn, but you do make valuable inputs to the research, and you will have tangible evidence of that by the end of the year.
Yeah, that's really important. We want you to get your names on publications, whether it's academic or contract research reports. So you've almost got something you can physically take away and say, look, I was involved in this, and it's an important output or in document somewhere.
Yeah, for sure. And exactly along those lines, something that's really pleasantly surprised me is the potential to cater the year to my interests. So different staff work on different projects, and there is a lot of scope to be involved in whatever research you're genuinely interested in. So I know Harry doing environmental science would obviously have different interests to me with the Treescapes project. And then I've done some work on Farmwell to do with farmer mental health. So really just ask to be involved in what you're interested in. The staff are very open to kind of having any help that you can offer. And I found that the variety of the project works really helps keep me engaged day to day.
Yeah, and Harry, I understand you've been away from the office a little more than Marie has. I'm just wondering if you can tell us a little bit more about some of the work that you've been involved with so far.
Yes, so recently I had the opportunity to travel to the National Forest in Derbyshire, which Nick and I chuckle about. There's actually not many trees there. I was sort of distributing surveys with a PhD student. I was walking door to door in nearby residential areas, dropping flyers into people's letterboxes, dogs sort of nipping my fingers as well as I put.
Obviously not done a paper round when you were younger.
Nope. So that was a learning curve. Hanging up posters in nearby parks, libraries, schools, etc. It was a brilliant opportunity to get out into the field and conduct first-hand primary research that not only broadened my understanding of the research process, but also honed in my interpersonal skills as I was engaging with the public. And Marie and I have also been to the RAU for Climathon event, which I obviously mentioned. And we also had the CCRI 35th anniversary at Oxtel's campus, which was brilliant to see the wide range of projects and the scope of the research that CCRI are currently involved in.
Yeah, and you got to meet some of the, I suppose, former members of the CCRI team.
That was really nice.
A number of whom have either retired or sort of moved elsewhere as their careers have progressed, and brought a lot of familiar faces back to CCRI, which was a nice afternoon, really.
Mm, definitely.
Bit of networking if you're into that.
Yes. Yep.
We're making connections.
Right, so quite a variety of things then. I'm just wondering if you could both sort of describe what a typical day in CCRI is like. Is that something which is often asked at the interview stage? And I think certainly one or maybe both of you actually asked that when we were interviewing you. So, yeah, what's a typical day like for you?
A typical day at CCRI is dynamic, engaging, filled with a variety of tasks. And one thing I've observed is that there's always meaningful work to be done. I come in around 9 a.m. from my short walk, and mornings usually start with reviewing emails and prioritising the day's tasks. Throughout the day, I'm involved in a range of activities such as literature reviews, data analysis, attending meetings, and general collaboration with colleagues on ongoing projects. I'm currently writing a newsletter for the Minagris project using Canva, which is one of the many applications that the uni has access to, alongside, for example, the whole Adobe Creative Cloud apps. Which I've enjoyed using Photoshop with the generative fill feature, which is really cool, ensuring there's no like limitations when it comes to designing a newsletter, for example.
Yeah, no, I would say my day looks about the same as Harry. I come in about the same time and I'll do my more intensive tasks in the morning and save my collaboration and creative tasks in the afternoon. So at the moment I'm doing some video editing for Sprint, which is one of the projects that the CCRI is working on. And that can be quite satisfying to work with Adobe. And same as Harry said, it's really nice to have all this software at your fingertips and not have to pay for them. So
it's true. An important thing to highlight is that lunch is around 12:30-ish and you can bring your own food.
Or when you get hungry.
Yeah, when you get hungry.
Or when you get hungry, that's true. It's up to you, really. So you can start eating at 10 if you really want to. And there's a kitchen with a fridge and you can use the campus refectory or you go to Lidl, Tesco, which is only around a 5-minute walk to and from. So it's really up to you on that one.
Yeah, I have to say the refectory can be a bit of a scam sometimes, so go for the Tesco's.
So the day typically ends around 4:30, but it's really up to you. If I have a train, for example, on Friday evening at 4:59, it's pretty specific, but I know the time schedule pretty much now, and I can leave the office just before 4 and make up the extra half an hour the week after on Monday. So there's a great sense of flexibility on this one. Obviously within reason, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we want that flexibility to be used and take advantage of. If you have if you front load the week with tasks and things which you've got to get done, then it gives you the opportunity to finish a little bit earlier later on in the week, especially if you want to get somewhere or you've got to go to something going on at the weekend, a wedding
or something,
like that. Yep. It's life goes on, and yep. If you can sort of work around that and make things fit for the better, then so be it. I'd certainly encourage it.
Definitely. That's true.
So I'm just wondering how you both found out about this vacancy.
Yeah, so I found mine on my uni jobs board. So Newcastle Uni has its own internal careers service that advertised it. And it was one of this big, long ranking of other placements that I definitely did not want to do. Don't know about you, Harry.
Yeah, echo that. Mine was on the job board for the university career website, as it were. Obviously applied through the process of it. And I mean, there were obviously other placements, but this obviously stood out to me very much so. So that was one reason why I've done that. So,
as part of a placement here is the opportunity to spend half a day per week on your own personal development. And this is pretty flexible and could be a wide range of activities. Marie, what sort of things are you doing at the moment?
So right now I already know what I want to do for my dissertation when I get back to Newcastle. So I've been working on organising my research for that. So my ethical approval forms and meetings with my dissertation supervisor. So what I was thinking once I'd completed that, I was going to have a go at learning some Spanish. But anything within reason is allowed. You might not be able to use it for driving lessons.
No, we did have someone who wanted to go out and learn to drive, basically. Maybe pushing the boundaries a little bit.
I do recall you saying that. Yeah.
But we have had people going to wildlife trusts, volunteering at organic farms. Last year's placement student, who was a UOG student, went to Western Burt Arboretum, where she continues to volunteer, and also did some volunteering work in a museum in Tewkesbury. So, you know, really wide range of things. And at the end of the day, if it contributes to your personal development, then it's okay. So, Harry, what have you been doing? How have you found this time useful?
Yeah, so for context, I've been utilising my personal development time to engage in Microsoft Office training programme using an application called G-Metrics. So this platform allows me to practice and revise various Microsoft applications, so Excel, Word, which we have been utilising a lot actually recently with our tasks. So upon completion, I could obtain a certificate, which would be really good. And it's been really positive as it allows me to sort of step back from the regular roles and responsibilities and dedicate that focused time to strengthening specific areas of weakness. By honing my Microsoft Office skills, I'm not only enhancing my efficiency, but also broadening my overall skill set, which I believe will be beneficial in my role at CCRI too. I think when I saw the personal development time within the job specification when I was applying for placements, I just want to stress that that is something that really stood out to me compared with other placement applications.
So is that something which typically you don't see when on sort of other placement adverts?
It's not something that crept on, and I probably applied to about 20, 25 placements when I was going through the stage. So it was, I had a
ahead of the game.
Yeah. So
definitely.
It was something that stood out. So I was,
well,
you said really
that's probably
positive.
Something that we didn't actually really realise is perhaps is lacking in other placements. So it's really good to hear that that's the case.
Yeah.
Final question for both of you, though. If you had one tip, just one, for incoming placement students, what would it be? Who wants to answer that first?
I'll have a go at that.
No pressure.
My number one tip is to not sit on the rotting bench outside of the fire exit, because it will break underneath you on your first day at work and you will have to fill in the health and safety form.
That plus the actual genuine fire alarm on the first day.
That's true.
It's not a drill.
That's true.
We are actually going to have to leave the office.
It's definitely highlight my first week.
You're welcome.
And what about you, Harry?
I think acknowledge early on that you may not hold knowledge in every aspect of CCRI's work, but I think that gives you a really great opportunity to take something on outside your comfort zone, and I think seize those chances to learn and absorb as much as possible from internationally recognised academic and professional staff within their numerous fields.
Yeah, I think you may not know everything about what we're doing, but we've had placement students who have come along, and although they've been really, really gifted, they haven't perhaps known a huge amount about specific areas, but they've applied themselves and they've got the background and the foundation to actually learn pretty quickly about what it is that they're doing and understand the context, and then still even make a huge contribution to the work that we do. Cool. Okay, well, we're pretty much at the end, I think, now of this podcast. So thanks to you, Harry and Marie, for joining us on the inaugural CCRI podcast. It's been good to chat to you about your experiences so far, both working here, but also actually coming to a new town and, you know, what drew you to this placement and the town as well. Hopefully those who are listening, if there are any people listening, they will have found it interesting and perhaps useful. If any of them are undergrad students who are going to come here or looking for a placement towards the end of this year.
Thanks for listening to the CCRI podcast. You can find more information on the Countryside and Community Research Institute at the University of Gloucestershire in the show notes or at www.ccri.ac.uk. See you next time.